Dollars and More Expedition Through the Bible is a live talk show every Monday night from 7 to 8 p.m. Heard right here on this station, David Harris and Tom Moore will cover difficult topics of life and worship and give a Bible answer for every question. We encourage you to tune in and call in every Monday night from 7 to 8 p.m. The number to call is 254-629-2622. That's 254-629-2622. Or email your questions and comments to questions@harrisandmore.org. Our motto is, you've heard what men have to say. Now listen to what the Bible has to say. Now join our hosts, David Harris and Tom Moore.
Welcome to the Harris and Moore Expedition to the Bible. My name is Tom Moore, the gospel preacher for the Parkites Church of Christ in Hamilton, Texas. And with me today is Mike Bonner, who's filling in for David as he's away at a gospel meeting. But Mike preaches for the 5th and Grave Congregation in Abilene, and we're just delighted to have him with us. He's helped us out a time before. I know he's going to help us out in many other times in the future. Mike's a very solid gospel preacher, and I know he's going to have some good things to say tonight in our discussion. Now, we want you to remember that our motto is, and will always be, you have heard what men have said. Now let's hear what the Bible says. Remember also that this is a live call-in talk show. And tonight we have another number for you to call in where you can talk to us face-to-face tonight. We're kind of getting some wrinkles worked out. But if you'd like to call in tonight and talk to us person-to-person with a question or comment, you can do so at 254-654-3251. That number again is 254-654-3251. And you can also email a question in to us at questions@harrisonmoore.org. And remember this also, you can live stream our radio program at www.harrisonmoore.org. And you can also look at that webpage there at harrisonmoore.org and have past episodes that have been archived there. Ryan Smithy, who is our webmaster, is involved in doing that. He does very good work for us in that regard, and we're thankful to him. We also like to mention, along with Park Heights Church of Christ and the Hillcrest Church of Christ, we have several other congregations who are having fellowship with us in this program. The Bangs Church of Christ in Bangs, the De Leon Church of Christ in De Leon, the church in the Patrick Street Church of Christ in Dublin, the Rising Star Church of Christ in Rising Star, and the 4th and Stewart Church of Christ in Brownwood, Texas. But also like to mention that we have a couple of events coming up that we would like to invite you to. The Church of Christ in De Leon is presently having a gospel meeting that started this past Sunday and runs through the 17th of this week, Wednesday. Tomorrow at 7 p.m. there in De Leon, the preacher Jerry Jackson, doing the preaching, is going to be preaching on the topic at the point of death. And then Wednesday at 7 p.m., the topic will be danger, spiritual health warning. And so we want to encourage you to, if you're in the area, to stop in and have a part in that gospel meeting. But we'd also like to remind you that beginning this Saturday, the 20th of October, and also the 21st, at the Park Heights Church of Christ, we're having our third annual Back to the Bible lectures. And our theme this year will be the Beautiful Bride of Christ. We'll have topics such as the church as seen by the prophets, the church, its establishment, and it's how it's identified. We're going to talk about the church and the great apostasy, the church and the restoration movement, the church and its mission, the church, the beautiful bride of Christ, and we'll close out our lectureship with the topic of the church is not a denomination. And so we encourage you to be a part of those lectureships and gospel meetings. Now, again, we want to remind you that this is a live call-in talk show, and we would love for you to call in with a question or comment. Again, the number is 254-654-3251. Now, Mike, in my opinion, we are faced with probably the most important election in the history of our nation. Mike, a friend, we're having a time where I believe our government is trying to silence God. You know, Mike, reading the daily newspaper, sadly, is much like reading from the book of Judges, isn't it, Mike?
Just like the book of Judges.
And you look at Judges, you got the passage there in Judges, Mike. When we look at the book of Judges, in Judges chapter 2 and verse 10, and in Judges 21 and verse 25, we see some of the very same type of mentality going on today that it was going on back in the time of the Judges. Mike, read for us there, if you don't mind, Judges chapter 2 and verse 10.
When all that generation had been gathered to their fathers, and another generation arose after them who did not know the Lord, nor work which he had done for Israel.
There's a passage there, Mike, where they simply did not know God.
That's right.
And that kind of seems a lot like what's going on in our day, doesn't it?
Sounds just like what's going on in our day. Also in Judges chapter 21, Tom, verse 25, in those days there were no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes.
And so we've got a nation in the times of the Judges where they were simply doing what was right in their own eyes, and not what was right in the sight of God. And does this not describe the present United States of America?
I believe that is very true. And the reason why is because when I think about what Solomon said to his son Rehoboam in Proverbs 29:18, where there is no division, the people are destroyed. They cast off restraint. When man is not governed by God or led by God, well, he's led to his own understanding.
Exactly.
He's going to do exactly what he wants.
Exactly. And so, really, Mike, we're living in an anything-goes society. You know, you look around today, and now homosexuality is running rampant. Our present government is focusing on gay marriages, and they're promoting abortion, partial birth abortions, and all of these various evils. We're really living in an anything-goes society. And Mike, the dismantling of America's Christian heritage, I believe, is taking place before our very eyes.
And it's been going on for a little while now.
It has.
And truth be told, it's not going to get any better until we get back to the Word of God.
Exactly.
And get back to our commitment to the Lord and to righteousness and morality.
Exactly. And you know, American culture for 185 years, Mike, was friendly to Christianity. America was once considered a Christian nation, but I believe this can no longer, or no longer is the case. As a matter of fact, our present president is quoted as saying that this is not a Christian nation.
Yes.
And, well, we're living up to that standard in many places, aren't we?
In many places, aren't we thankful that there are still some Christians here?
Exactly.
Doing what we're doing, upholding the law of God.
Exactly. And that's one of the reasons we're on this program, because we need to get people to focus back on God and get back to the Bible, get back to God's way of things. And we're going to show in our program today that our nation was founded upon biblical principles.
That's right.
And until we get back to those biblical principles, we're going to find ourselves in really big trouble. Well, Mike, for the last 50 years, the forces of humanism and atheism and evolution, liberalism and pluralism and political correctness have been aggressive in their assault on Christian religion. And they have gradually dismantled many of the moral and spiritual principles that once characterized our society. Mike, we look around the world today and what's going on in our nation, we see that our moral fiber of our nation is disintegrating before our very eyes. What are some of the things that we're seeing going on, Mike, that is really a picture of what's going on, immorally speaking, in our world?
Well, I like what you said, the political correctness.
Mm-hmm.
Any time that you look at sin and you don't view it the way that God sees it, Isaiah 5, verse 20, woe unto him who call evil good and good evil, and you try to cover it up, if you will, or try to call it what it's not, you're going to have some problems. And what's going to happen is it's going to break down the moral fiber of any nation.
Right.
I think we were talking a little while ago, Proverbs 14:34, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people.
Mm-hmm.
Well, any time that you begin to become politically correct, instead of just calling it what it is, now that doesn't mean that we shouldn't be speaking the truth in love.
Right.
The very fact that we're speaking the truth, we love you.
Exactly. You know, and maybe we ought to be biblically correct.
Yes.
Instead of being so concerned about being politically correct. Well, remember, this is a live call-in talk show, and we would love for you to call in with a question or a comment. The number to call is 254-654-3251, or you can also email a question to us at questions@harrisonmoore.org. You know, we look around today, Mike, and we see the religious, moral, and spiritual foundation disintegrating before our very eyes. We look at the various television shows that's going on. You know, I forget the name of the show, but there's a show coming on this fall or has already started where there's two gay men who has a surrogate woman having a baby for them. You know, we're having this kind of trash on our TVs, and you look at the movies, you can't hardly watch a movie anymore without all kinds of nudity or sexual innuendos or bad language, just full of immorality, and much of our music. We see the same thing taking place, and then we have the Internet. There's a lot of good things on the Internet, but there's lots of evils on the Internet as well. Mike, we are, I guess, presently in an all-out, casualty-filled spiritual war.
That's right. We are. Remember what Paul talked about in Ephesians chapter 6? Talked about the spiritual warfare that we're in.
Mm-hmm.
And even Paul, as he was talking to the church at Corinth, he said that we don't wrestle with flesh and blood, but we need to take every thought into captivity, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, mm-hmm. 3 through 5. So this is a spiritual war.
It is.
And we need to keep that in mind, that we're spiritual beings in this spiritual war, fighting for the Lord and really fighting for our souls.
Exactly. You know, really, Mike, the central issue of the war is God and the Bible.
Yes.
Social and political liberals from Hollywood, even in our nation's capital, are now, it seems, to be very hostile toward God. They were very open about it. We are facing perilous times. And you know, really, what comes to mind to me, Mike, is the words of the Apostle Paul. There in Ephesians chapter 6, beginning verse 10, he says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our wrestling is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against the powers, against the world rulers, against the world rulers of this darkness, against the spiritual host of wickedness in heavenly places." And so we've got to realize, Mike, that we are in a spiritual battle. And the thing that pops out to me there, Mike, is that we're fighting against the world rulers of darkness. In other words, government.
Yes.
When a government is not abiding by God's law, then we're going to have to stand up, aren't we?
That's right. You remember in the Old Testament with King Nebuchadnezzar?
Yes.
Same principles we see there in Book of Daniel, chapter 3. But also we see in Daniel chapter 6 with Darius. And these individuals who were kings, they were being antagonistic to the people of God.
Mm-hmm.
Well, remember in Romans chapter 13, in verse number 4, the government is supposed to be God's minister.
Yes.
Well, what happens when God's ministers turn against God?
Well, I believe the nation will be turning against him as well, right?
That's right. So as Christians, Acts 5:29, we need to obey God rather than man.
Exactly. And so that's really what we're all focused about here in our lesson tonight, is our nation and many of our political leaders are trying to silence God.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this conspiracy, Mike, parades itself under the guise that the Founding Fathers and the Constitution advocated the separation of church and state. They claim that this means that all references to God, all references to Christianity should not be permitted in public settings that are associated with government or community or schools. And Mike, because of that, there are some very serious decisions being made right now, is there not?
Yes, very serious. And any time that man is not going to look at God and His Word for guidance, man is going to destroy himself.
Exactly. You know, so there are decisions are being made in our government and in our courts with this philosophical mindset. I'm sure all of you remember that the atheist Madeleine Murray O'Hare worked very hard to get prayers out of our schools. And guess what? Most places do not allow prayer in schools. Now, I've been to a few football games where they still pray in spite of what government says, but many people are now taking prayer out of schools. In many of our government buildings, they're now focusing on trying to take the Ten Commandments out of the buildings. And things like saying no to the Bible, but yes to gay marriages. And then I even read a while back, Mike, well, there's now a movement trying to take all religious symbols from the state seals. You know, they're just constantly trying to, well, what they say, separate church and state. But in reality, that's not the case.
Can you have morality without spirituality?
No.
No.
You know, they say things like, Mike, well, you cannot legislate morality. And yet it's against the law to kill, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
What is that?
Legislation.
You know, and so it's wrong to steal.
That's right.
And what is that? That's legislating morality.
That's
and
right.
So they're very inconsistent in this idea. Now, Mike, we're being told that the Constitution enjoins the separation of church and state. We're being told that the Founding Fathers desired the acceptance of all religion, that is pluralism.
Yes.
We're being told that our Founding Fathers were deists. Now, for those who do not know what a deist is one who rejects supernatural revelation, one who believes God created all things but simply stepped back and remained indifferent to everything that's going on. And so they say that our Founding Fathers were deists and not Christians.
That's true.
And they're saying that our Founding Fathers opposed public expression of Christian religion in government and in schools. But this is all a lie, isn't it, Mike?
A lie.
Adolf Hitler had a pretty interesting thing to say, didn't he, Mike?
He did. Matter of fact, I think I remember him saying, by means of shrewd lies unremittingly repeated, it is possible to make people believe that heaven is hell and hell is heaven. That's a great lie, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
I mean, we know, we're students of the Bible, we have faith that God is in heaven, but we also have faith that there is a hell.
And he goes on to say, the greater the lie, the more readily it is believed.
That's right.
You know, and I believe, Mike, we've got some of that same line going on in our government today. And you keep telling people lie after lie after lie after lie. Over time, people are going to believe the lie.
That's right.
You know, Mike, I believe, a little bit off the subject, but the greatest lie that has ever been told is the lie of evolution.
Mm,
and it's
true.
Being told and told as truth, but it's a lie, and yet millions of people believe it.
That's right.
You know, now remember, this is a live call-in talk show, and if you'd like to call in with a question or a comment, we encourage you to do so at 254-654-3251, and you can also email a question to us at questions@harrisonmoore.org. But you know, Mike, that the phrase, the separation of church and state, is not found in the Constitution or anything akin to it.
That's right.
As a matter of fact, our Founding Fathers wrote and spoke often of God and religion. You know, Mike, if we would only read what they said and not what people said they said, this would become very apparent, wouldn't it?
It would.
You know, shouldn't this be true in regard to the Bible?
Yes, sir. We should be reading our Bibles, right?
You know, a lot of people say a lot of things religiously, don't they? But is it found in the Bible?
No, it's not.
You know, 1 Peter 4 and verse 11 says what?
If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God.
Okay, so we've got to speak where the Bible speaks, right? You know, there's no saying we need to speak where the Bible speaks and be silent where it is silent, call Bible things by Bible names and do Bible things in Bible ways. And so, you know, and also in 2 Chronicles chapter 18, verse 13, there it says, "What my God saith, that will I speak." And shouldn't we not be more concerned with what God says,
right,
as opposed to what man says? And again, our motto for this radio program, you have heard what men have said, now let's hear what the Bible says. You know, when we think about this whole issue, Mike, of trying the silencing of God, they are trying to tell us that the founding fathers, that the Constitution, that the early writings of our founding fathers, they believed and they and were proponents of separation of church and state. I find it interesting that the only time that phrase is ever found in our documents of our founding fathers was a letter that Thomas Jefferson wrote to, I believe it was a Baptist preacher, and he said, "We are not going to separate church and state." The very opposite of what they're proposing today.
Isn't that amazing, Tom? Didn't Satan do that in the garden?
Yes, exactly.
He just changed one word.
What did he do there?
"Thou shalt not surely die."
Well, what did God say?
God said, "You will die.
Uh-huh.
Eat of that tree, you're going to die."
And so we've got that same kind of lie that's going on in our day-to-day.
That's
people
right.
Simply telling us flat-out lies, telling us this was something that our founding fathers believed, but it's not the case. As an example, notice, read, we've got that quote there for us, Mike. Read for us there, if you will, what George Washington, everybody's heard of George Washington. Well, read for us there what George Washington's part of his farewell address.
He said, "Of all the dispositions and habits which lead to political prosperity, religion and morality are the indispensable supports. In vain would that man claim tribute of patriotism. Who should labor to subvert these great pillars of human happiness, these firmest props of the duties of men and citizens? The mere politicians, equally with the pious man, ought to respect and cherish them, whatever may be conceded to the influence of refined education on minds of peculiar structure. Reason and experience both forbid us to expect the national morality to prevail in exclusion of religious principles."
George Washington.
That's right.
One of our founding fathers says that if you separate the church from the state, you're going to have national problems.
Wasn't this the problem with the Canaanite nation when God promised Abram that he was going to give him a land, a promised land?
Uh-huh. Tell us
and
about it.
It was going to be God's people was going to go into Canaan, and God gave them instructions to go and utterly destroy all of those Canaanite nations. And what happened? They went in there, and they did not destroy those nations. Sin destroys, brothers. Sin destroys our lives.
Yeah.
And that's why we have to rid sin out of our lives.
Exactly. And so that's why we have to keep God, we have to keep morality in our nation, because if we don't,
that's right,
we're doomed to fail. You know, history tells us, Mike, that the Roman Empire, as great as it was not destroyed from armies from the outside, but they were destroyed from within.
Right.
Immorality destroyed that nation.
So you there's a difference between explosion and implosion?
Yeah.
Wow.
You know, can't we see that our nation is in trouble today, Mike, by the rampant immorality that's going on in our world, and also by our governmental officials who are trying to remove God's spiritual values out of our nation?
That's right.
And when that happens, we're doomed to fail, just like the Israel of old fell when they took God out of their minds and they began to associate with the evil nations and the evils of the world. They fell when they didn't do what God said. The same thing is going to happen in our nation today if we don't get back to God. Now, the two indispensable supports to human happiness, political prosperity and popular government, according to George Washington, is religion and morality. What happens, David, when you remove, Mike, when you remove one of those?
Well, it's going to crumble. It's going to fall.
Exactly. You take religion out of it,
it's going to fall.
It's going to fall. And when you take religion out, there goes morality. And that's exactly what we're seeing taking place in our day-to-day.
That's right.
You know, did our founding fathers, Mike, subscribe to Christianity?
Yes, it is. Most definitely.
You know, in our nation, it was found on Christian principles. But it was not founded on what?
Islam or Judaism.
That's right. It's found on Christian principles. In our nation, our founding fathers were people who believed in the Bible, who believed in God, who believed in biblical principles. And the very foundation of our nation was found on these biblical principles. And those are the very foundations and the very principles that now we have many in our government who are trying to take away.
That's right.
You know, Mike, when we think about, we've got a very big election coming up. And as we begin to look at whom we're going to vote for, we ought not to be concerned with Republican or Democrat. We ought not to be concerned with how fat our pocketbook is going to be or not be. But really, Mike, what should be our greatest concern as we begin to look at the candidates that we're faced with this election year?
Well, we need to be concerned about who's going to uphold the principles of God.
Exactly. You know, we've got to get back to God. After all, that's what our nation was founded on, right?
That's right.
You know, consider what a man by the name of Noah Webster once said. Noah Webster once said, "In my view, the Christian religion is the most important and one of the first things in which all children under a free government ought to be instructed. No truth is more evident to my mind than that the Christian religion must be the basis of any government intended to secure the rights and privileges of a free people." And yet, Mike, our government is getting further and further away from Bible principles.
So that's why as a people, as God's people, as Christians, we have to stay with the Bible. We have to stay with those moral values, principles that God has left us in His Word. And that means every now and then we have to stand up.
Exactly.
Now, of course, speaking the truth in love, having the right attitude, being like the apostles in Acts chapter 5, verse 29, obeying God rather than man. But we have to do it with the right attitude, because keeping in mind that we want to bring people to Christ.
Exactly.
So we cannot act like Satan in attempting to try to do that which is right.
Exactly. And so it's important for us then, as we look at this whole issue of the silencing of God, to realize unless we're going to get back to the Bible, our nation is never going to be the kind of nation that's going to be pleasing in the sight of God. In Donald S. Lutz's book, The Origins of American Constitutionalism, the following things are revealed. He begins to talk about the various sources of our founding fathers' political ideas. And he began to give percentages of quotes that were taking place. And it's interesting that the percentages of quotes that were found in our founding fathers in the 1760s, 24% of all quotes that our founding fathers made came from the Bible.
It's amazing.
In the 1770s, 44% of all quotes our founding fathers made came from the Bible. That's almost half, Mike.
That's right.
In the 1780s, 34% of all quotes of our founding fathers came from the Bible. In the 1790s, 29% of all quotes came from the Bible. And between 1800 and 1805, 38% of all quotes made by our founding fathers came from the Bible. Mike, we learned from that what?
Well, we learned that there are more Bible quoted in some of these speeches than in some pulpits today.
That's true. So they quoted the Bible more than any other source, didn't they,
That's
Mike?
That's right.
Well, Mike, it's about time for a break, and so we're going to pick up on this on the other side of the break. You are listening to the HPR Network.
They thought the Titanic was unsinkable. They thought the double-bottom 16 watertight compartments could withstand anything. They thought the ship could float with some water in its bulkhead. They thought that 3 million rivets holding the steel plates together was indestructible. They thought that even after the ship struck an iceberg, there was no cause for alarm. They thought all was fine, and some continued dancing, enjoying the music, and partying. They thought, but they were wrong. We must make our eternal destiny sure. Surely we should not accept the advice or counsel of a man, but rather only heed the word of God. Jesus stated, "Those who do the will of the Father shall inherit the kingdom of God," Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Join us every Monday from 7 to 8 p.m. for the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. This is a live call-in talk show about living in America and making a biblical application to our lives. Please call with questions and comments at 254-629-2622. This show is brought to you by the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Patrick Street Church of Christ in Dublin, Rising Star Church of Christ in Rising Star, the De Leon Church of Christ in De Leon, and the Bangs Church of Christ in Bangs.
We spend more to have less. We buy more but enjoy it less. We have bigger houses and smaller families, more conveniences but less time, more medicine but less wellness. We read too little and watch TV too much and pray too seldom. We have multiplied our possessions but reduced our values. These are the times of torment, short character, steep profiles, and shallow relationships. We have learned to make a living but not a life. We have added years to life but not life to years. Perhaps the world needs to heed the words of our Lord, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Join us every Monday from 7 to 8 for the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. This is a live call-in talk show about living in America and making a biblical application to our lives. Please call with questions or comments at 254-629-2622. This show is brought to you by Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Patrick Church of Christ in Dublin, Rising Star Church of Christ in Rising Star, and the De Leon Church of Christ in De Leon.
You've been listening to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. The views, opinions, beliefs, and contents expressed on the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible are the sole production of the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible and its agents. The views, opinions, beliefs, and contents heard on this show may not be the same as those of the radio station or the HPR network or any of its agents.
Welcome back to the Harrison Moore Expedition to the Bible. My name is Tom Moore, the gospel preacher for the Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, and today filling in for David Harris, who preaches for the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, is Mike Bonner, who preaches for the Fifth and Grape Congregation of the Church in Abilene, Texas. And we today are talking about the silencing of God, the issue that our government officials and our nation seem to be very adamant in trying to do, trying to silence God. Now, we want you to remember that this is a live call-in talk show. And we would love for you to call in with a question or a comment at 254-654-3251. And you can also email us a question at questions@harrisonmoore.org. As we mentioned early in our program, we are seeing the dismantling of American Christian heritage taking place before our very eyes. And we talked about how that we're presently in an all-out casualty-filled war, and that the central issue of the war is God and the Bible. Social and political liberals from Hollywood and even from our nation's capital now, it seems to be very hostile toward God. And Mike, this conspiracy parades itself under the guise that the founding fathers and the Constitution advocated the separation of church and state. But we know something different about that, don't we, Mike?
That's right.
And so what we're being told, you know, is that the Constitution enjoined the separation of church and state. We are being told that the Founding Fathers desired the acceptance of all religions, pluralism. We're being told that the Founding Fathers were deists, not Christians. We're being told that the Founding Fathers opposed the public expression of Christian religion in government and schools. But, Mike, what is that?
It's a lie.
It's a lie. You know, we mentioned also Adolf Hitler, who said, by means of shrewd lies unremittingly repeated, it is possible to make people believe that heaven is hell and hell is heaven. And he says, the greater the lie, the more readily it is believed. Well, Mike, we found out that our Founding Fathers were involved in quoting the Scriptures. As a matter of fact, the Bible was quoted more than any other source in the writings of our Founding Fathers. You know, I found it interesting, Mike, that in Newsweek, in the December 27th, 1982 issue on page 44, this quote is found. Historians are discovering that the Bible, perhaps even more than the Constitution, is our founding document. You know, so what do we learn, Mike, about our nation? If we're going to be the kind of nation that's going to be right, a kind of nation that's going to prosper, what do we need to be doing?
We need to be pleasing the Lord. We need to be searching Him out and living by His principles, by His Word.
Yeah. And so how do we go about that?
Well, number one, we have to get people to realize that God is the standard.
Right.
And we have to get people to realize that God desires for everyone to be well-pleasing to Him. Well, how is that going to happen? Man has to submit to Him.
All right.
It's not about what we want. It's about what God wants. Tom, can't we both agree that our nation has become very selfish?
Yes. Yeah.
And when a group of people or a people become selfish, then it's about their will and not God's will. Well, when you think of immorality, homosexuality, fornication, you know. We're always talking about homosexuality, and rightfully so. But we have people who are living together who are not married.
Exactly.
You know, well, that breaks down the moral fiber of the nation.
That's right.
So we have to keep those things in mind. And when man realizes that God's way is the best way, then, and only then, they'll be well-pleasing to the Lord.
Exactly. And so we have heterosexual fornication. We have homosexual fornication, you know, so there is fornication. And when we get away from God and the Bible, well, those things are going to be very prominent. And that's what's happening in our government today. They are pushing for that. They are pushing for laws that make it right to have gay marriages.
Or, you know, we can go even deeper, Tom. How about more issues such as unbalanced weight? You know, when we think of cheating one another, or our government spending too much money, or more money than what they have to. You know, I know we're getting into realms that we probably need to shy away from to a certain extent, but truly, when you think of immorality, it's on a lot of levels.
Exactly. You know, and so we've got to realize then that our government and many government officials who are trying to silence our religious principles, we need to put a stop to it. Let me remind you, everybody has heard of the Bill of Rights.
Yes.
The Amendment 1 of the Bill of Rights says this: Congress shall make no new law respecting an establishment of religion or, now notice this, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or the press, of the right of the people peaceably to assemble, to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Now, the thing that I'm interested there in, Mike, is the thing where it says the Congress shall make no law that prohibits the free exercise of our religion. And yet, what are they doing? What's saying no school in prayer? I mean, no prayer in school. What is that doing?
exactly what you just said. They're trying to prohibit.
And then this now where they're trying to make religions take on insurance, where they're providing contraception and providing abortion, and that's a direct violation to one's religious beliefs. So what are they doing?
Prohibit us from exercising religion.
Exactly. And so that's the very thing the Bill of Rights speaks against, and yet that's the very thing that's going on in our world today. And so we as God's people need to do something about that. Well, there's got to be a solution to this, Mike.
There is a solution. That means that those of us who know better need to stand up and say something.
Exactly.
And we need to say it in a way that our voice is heard. Well, really, the way that our voice can be heard, we need to teach people the gospel. We need to teach people the truth about morality,
mm-hmm.
about how to live. How about this, Tom? About how to think.
Yes.
Really, we're not going to change our way of living until we change our way of thinking.
Exactly.
You know, so whatever a man thinketh in his heart, so is he.
And so perhaps, maybe, Mike, the first thing that we need to do in finding a solution to this problem is being involved in self-examination,
yes.
and serious rededication to God.
Serious rededication. I think you said it, Tom. When we seriously dedicate ourselves to the Lord or rededicate ourselves to God, then we're telling God, you're in control.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about that, Tom. We like to be in control of our
exactly.
lives.
Exactly.
We like to tell ourselves what we ought to be doing. But didn't God create us in His image?
Yeah.
Doesn't that go against some of the things that are said even in our government?
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you think of evolution, we're coming forth from animals. God didn't make us from animals. God made us in His image.
Exactly.
We're His people.
Right. So we need to stop allowing culture to influence.
Good point. Good point.
We need to stop allowing the majority to influence. You know, sometimes, Mike, life can get so good and so easy for us that we become lax. And we become many times desensitized to the evils round about us, and we begin to ignore the crisis that's before us because, hey, you know, hey, I've got money. I've got two cars, two-car garage, a wife, and kids, got a couple of dogs, and I'm making a good living, and we forget what's going on round about us.
Right.
Because we're more focused upon us.
Well,
but I believe Jesus said something about that, didn't he?
Yeah. When we think about our president, and a couple of years ago when we elected him as president, wasn't that a wake-up call?
Should have been.
It was a wake-up call. And we should have woken up to the point to see that maybe we were too lax. How did this happen? Well, it usually happens when men fall asleep. We're not talking about going to bed.
Yeah.
We're talking about not realizing what's going on around us.
Exactly. And so, you know, in Matthew chapter 6, in verse 33, Jesus says what?
Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you.
That's a key phrase there, isn't there, Mike?
Mm-hmm.
Seek Him
first.
And yet that's not what goes on in our world mostly. You know, people seek the Lord second or third or when it's convenient. But if we're going to rededicate our life and get our nation going back in the right way, the first thing that we're going to have to do is seek Him first.
And it starts with us.
Exactly. You know, I've got to do it and you've got to do it and everyone around us has to do it as well. Well, you know, Jesus also said, Mike, in Mark chapter 12. In Mark chapter 12, beginning verse 30, it says, And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. Now, there's a key word there.
I think that key word is all.
All. And so what we have here then, Mike, is it not that this is our total being
yes.
has to be dedicated to God.
Dedicated, that's right.
And until we are willing to do that, we're not going to get much further, are we?
That's right.
And so we've got to decide in our own mind, if we're going to make a change in this world, then we're going to have to, us individually and personally, give our all to God.
And we have to look at this from a scope perspective. It starts with self, and then our children or families, mm-hmm. and then our community, then our state, our nation, and then internationally.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I can say this. When we think of the international influence at times of the different religions that's coming in that don't believe in Christ,
right?
Well, that influences those of us who do believe in Christ. And now here comes that political correctness again. Well, we don't want to offend. Well, isn't Jesus God? He is God.
Yeah.
He's the one true living God. The Father is the true living God, not Buddha or any other God that is out there, because they're really not gods. But they have brought their gods over, Brother Tom, and now we have what you call syncretism. We have all of these religions mixed together,
mm-hmm.
but there's only one God.
Yeah. You know, we are afraid of offending people, aren't we?
Yes, we are.
So we don't say things that need to be said. I find it interesting in Matthew chapter 15. You know, Jesus had talked about their worshiping, called them hypocrites, and they were worshiping God according to their own doctrines, and their worship was vain. And then it says in verse 12 of Matthew 15, then came the disciples and said unto him, knowest thou not the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying?
That's right.
Said, Jesus, you're offending these people. What did Jesus say?
Jesus answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted shall be uprooted.
Exactly. So he didn't say, oh, I'm sorry, I apologize, I didn't really mean to say that, I wish I had said it a bit different. No, he says, I said it, really, for your own benefit. Now, Mike, we've got an email that has come in.
Great.
Hebrews chapter, it comes in from Barry and Paula, I'm not sure which one, we'll just say both. He says, Hebrews 11 verse 6, but without faith it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We have dumbed down our religion to the point, they say, that anyone who just will say they believe in him believes are saved. By doing so, we have quit holding our government responsible to represent us. When we get back to the Bible and live our lives accordingly, then require those around us to do the same thing. Then our government will get back to functioning as it has in the past. Otherwise, we will continue down this path of destruction. It's time to ask ourselves, am I living according to God's word, or am I living the way someone told me that I should? I've got a study to show myself approved to God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. If I'm not studying to live, I should be ashamed and fix the problem immediately so my life is the influence it should be. And Barry and Paula makes a good point there, Mike. We can't expect anything of our nation that we're not willing to do ourselves, right?
That's right.
And so we're going to have to be a people who are faithful to God if we expect our nation to be faithful to God. If we're faithful to God and we're all working toward that end, who are we going to be voting for?
We're going to be voting for someone who desires to be pleasing to God.
Exactly. And so it all starts with us, as we began this segment with. It all starts with us.
Tom, there was a key word that I picked up on in that email, influence.
Mm-hmm.
That's a key word right
yeah.
there. And when you consider the influence that we should have, that influence ought to help people to see Christ living in us, God living in us. And that's what we want to influence the world. Aren't we supposed to be the salt of the earth, the light of the world,
exactly.
the city that's set upon
yes.
the hill?
Mm-hmm.
Influence.
Exactly. And so that's really where it starts. You know, we've got to be dedicated to God. We've got to be willing to influence other people around us by the way we live. But, you know, really, Mike, the next step is diligence to dedicating our family to God as well.
That's right.
You know, we've got to propagate this issue of being totally for God and dedicated to God. You know, you remember in Judges chapter 2 and verse 10 that we began with, how there arose another generation who knew not the Lord. So apostasy, Mike, is only
one generation away.
And so we've got to be involved right now in the teaching of our children. You know, in Genesis chapter 18 and verse 19, Abraham
commanded his house
to be faithful to the Lord.
Doesn't that sound like Joshua 24:15?
Exactly.
And how Joshua said, "As for me and my house," wasn't Joshua speaking for his household?
He was.
Also, he didn't, you know, not to be offensive or anything, but he didn't have to go ask the wife, "Are we going to serve the Lord?"
Right.
He made a command decision.
Exactly.
Well, the man is supposed to be making those decisions.
Exactly.
To serve the Lord.
All right. And so if we're as men are going to be the true heads of our house, then we're going to demand. We're not going to give our children a choice. You know, you're going, now when they get out of the house, they're going to make their own choice. But while you're in my house, you are going to serve the Lord. That's what Joshua said. That's what Abraham said. And, you know, in the book of Deuteronomy, Mike, there is a very key passage in chapter 6. First of all, in chapter 6, beginning there in verse 4, it says, "O Israel, Jehovah our God is one Jehovah, and thou shalt love Jehovah thy God with all of thy heart, with all of thy soul, with all of thy might." Kind of sounds what we read earlier, doesn't it?
Yes.
"And these words which I command thee this day shall be upon thy heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be for frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the doorposts of thy house and upon thy gates." Mike, he's telling us here that God's Word should fill every aspect of our life.
That's right.
And when we as parents, we as fathers, as mothers, are raising our children, and if we want our nation to be the kind of nation that it ought to be, then we're going to have to fill our household with the Word of God.
You know, you bring up a good point, Tom. As you were talking, I was thinking about Jeremiah 49 and verse 1. And here God is telling Israel, as he is placing judgment upon the Ammonites, not to be like the Ammonites. Well, one thing that the Ammonites did, they offered their children to Molech.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes I can tell that some parents are offering their children to their God.
Exactly.
You know, they put their children in front of the television, they just leave them there.
The Molech of immorality.
The Molech of immorality. That'll preach, brother.
I will.
The Molech of immorality. And we need to guard our children. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse number 26. Proverbs 4, 26. Guard thy heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life.
You know, Mike, if you were sitting at your house and you and Mikey were there watching TV, your son, and all of a sudden a lady comes into the house and begins to disrobe in front of Mikey, what would you do?
I would tell her, "You need to get out."
Get out.
I would tell him, "That's wrong."
That's right. But what do? We allow all kinds of women to disrobe in front of us on the TV set.
That's right.
You know, we wouldn't allow somebody to come in our house and begin to speak vulgarly and all that, but we'll watch it on TV. We are so inconsistent, and our kids see that. And so we as a family need to get back to the Bible, and you know, there's a reason for this, Mike. You'll notice in Deuteronomy chapter 6, in verse 24 and 25, it says, "And Jehovah commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear Jehovah our God." Now notice this. "For our good always."
That's right.
"That he might preserve us alive as at this day, and it shall be righteousness unto us if we observe to do all his commandments before Jehovah our God as he has commanded us." Mike, obeying God, being godly, bringing God back into our nation is for our good. And until we realize that, we're not going to go very far. And also, our kids need to also realize that this is for your good.
That's right.
Well, Mike, One other thing that we have time to talk about a little bit is that if we're going to have a solution to our problem, not only do we need to be involved in self-examination and a serious rededication to God, and not only do we need to be diligent in trying to dedicate our family to God, but it's time for us to pray.
That's right.
You know, there's a very important passage with this regard, in regard to our government and praying, found in 2 Timothy, or 1 Timothy chapter 2.
Right.
Read there for us, Mike, if you would, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2.
Therefore I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and all who are in authority, in order that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence.
So Paul is telling Timothy, in essence there, Mike, to do what?
Pray for your government.
Pray for your leaders. You know, it's one thing for us, Mike, to badmouth and look down on things, what's going on, but we also need to be praying for our government. We have another email here, Mike, from Eric. He says, we as Christians have to first seek Him, but we must trust in God as well, which in Hebrews 11, as you just read, having that faith helps us to put our whole trust in God to help us through the tough and easy steps of life and be that example that we must be to be the world, so they can see, show the world a better way of life.
Now, notice the first emailer used the word influence. Mm-hmm. Eric just used the word example.
Exactly.
Same thing.
Exactly. You know, and so we've got to do right. We've got to have enough faith in God that things are going to work out right.
Right.
But we're also going to have to be involved in prayer. We're going to have to pray for our nation.
And, you know, I want to add verse number 3 of 1 Timothy chapter 2.
Okay.
But this is good and acceptable unto God.
Exactly.
Isn't it good and acceptable to be pleasing to the Lord,
right,
and pray for our government?
Yeah, we need to be. You know, as much as I, we have a, we got the, well, we had a caller, but I missed the call. So, sorry about that. Barry called, and I missed the call because I didn't have it where I could see it good. But we're almost out of time, and we've got to realize that if we're going to be the kind of nation that we ought to be, then we're going to have to pray for our government, pray for our leaders. And Mike, we do this individually. We need to do this collectively. And, you know, it must be sustained. We need to pray
always,
without ceasing. We need to be fervent and intense in our prayer life. And so we've seen tonight, Mike, that our nation is promoting the idea of the silencing of God, trying to get God out of our government and God out of our lives in various ways. And we've seen that this was not true of our founding fathers. And we've also seen, begin to look at some ways that we can remedy this situation. And Mike, we can do this by rededicating ourselves to God, right?
That's right.
That has to be the first step in all this.
That's right. One thing I love about this program is that we're not just focusing in on the problem, but there has to be a solution.
Exactly.
You've got to give someone, it's easy to be part of the problem, but let's be part of the solution.
Exactly. And so for us to be part of the solution, we have to dedicate ourselves to God, right?
Yes.
And not only that, we also are going to have to be diligent in dedicating our families to God as well. And then finally, as we've noticed,
thank you for tuning in for the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. This is a live call-in talk show discussing the important topics and current events threatening our Christian faith. Please join us every Monday night from 7 to 8 p.m. and call in with any questions or comments at 254-629-2622. The number again, 254-629-2622. Or email your questions to questions@harrisandmoore.org. Our motto is, you've heard what men have to say, now listen to what the Bible has to say. Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible, heard every Monday night from 7 to 8 p.m. on this radio station and the HPR network.
KTX 97.7 Eastland, KB 300 107.9 Stephenville, KWBY 98.5 Ranger.
You've been listening to the Harrison Moore Expedition through the Bible. The views, opinions, beliefs, and contents expressed on the Harrison Moore Expedition through the Bible are the sole production of the Harrison Moore Expedition through the Bible and its agents. The views, opinions, beliefs, and contents heard on this show may not be the same as those of the radio station or the HPR network or any of its agents.